Romans chapter 9. For those of you who are visiting, we're in a series of messages from Paul's letter to the Roman Christians. And we come to this wonderful chapter that has caused a great deal of heartache for some Christians. But I'll make you a promise this morning. If you listen carefully to what Paul is saying in the text, a lot of confusion will be cleared up for a number of passages of Scripture that you may have had trouble with understanding. In fact, the verses that we're about to read are crucial to a clear comprehension of Galatians, of several sections in the book of Romans, of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Several passages will just be cleared up if you understand what we say this morning. Now remember, Paul begins this chapter by saying, I have a heart, a burden for the people of Israel. I want to see them come to know Christ. They have all the advantages as a nation. To them, the covenant was given. To them, all of the covenantal promises. In verse 4, he speaks of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And through them, Jesus was born according to the flesh. But he's not just a man, this Jesus. Oh no, he's the eternal, most holy, blessed God forever. That's verse 5. Now he comes to verse 6. And it's almost as if he's anticipating an objection from somebody who's reading this letter. Somebody who says this. Paul, wait just a moment. Wasn't Israel God's chosen nation? Weren't they the special people of God in the Old Testament? What happened? Why have they rejected Christ? Has God's purpose for Israel failed? This is where we begin this morning. Let's stand as we read verse 6. Paul writes and he says, it's not as though the word of God concerning Israel has taken no effect. Or in other words, it's not as if the promise and word of God has failed. For they are not Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, God speaking. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Thank you, you may be seated. Now I want to show you from this text the promise that God makes to you and to me. And I want to encourage those of you who know Christ, who are recipients of the promises of God. You know, it may seem that your life is really going down the proverbial drink. It may seem as if things are falling apart. And you're wondering into yourself, where is this promise of Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good? Is that not a promise of God for His children? Where's this promise at? I don't see it. I don't feel it. I want to give you some encouragement. God does keep His promises. In fact, let me show you from this text three simple things. Number one, God's purposes are never frustrated. Ever. Now, this is what Paul is describing in the beginning of our text as he talks about the nation of Israel. Paul says that God chose the Israelites in ages past to favor them among all the nations of the earth. Now, we know that to be true. We can just read the Old Testament and know it to be a fact. For instance, this verse from Amos. God is speaking and he says to Israel, "You only have I known among all the nations." This favored nation status was built upon a covenant that God made with the people of Israel. We call it the Old Covenant. Now listen carefully. If you want to find out about the Old Covenant, read the Old Testament. Now, it's unfortunate that we call our Old Testament the Old Testament, which is just another word for covenant. I wish we would just call the Bible the Word of God or the Scriptures, because all Scripture is from God and is profitable. But within what we call the Old Testament, you can read about the agreement that God made with the nation of Israel, called by Paul and Peter and us the Old Covenant. It was a covenant based upon this kind of language. If you do this, then I, God, will do this. For instance, if you obey me and my laws, God said, I'll give you a land. If you keep the Sabbath, I'll make you fruitful in the land. If you fully confirm and obey my law, I will make you a nation feared by other nations. This was the agreement between God and Israel. It's an if you, then I agreement. Now, I touched upon this last Sunday and got a big amen from Tim. I want to repeat it again because I think it's essential you understand it. This is where many New Covenant Christians get messed up in the head. Because they will take passages from the Old Testament that are descriptive of the Old Covenant, and they will apply those passages to themselves as New Covenant believers, and they don't apply. You say, oh, but Pastor, wait just a moment now. But there's some beautiful verses from the Old Covenant agreement that I really enjoy. Verses like this: if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven. You hear it? If, then. This is an agreement between God and Israel. If you, then I. I love those verses. I know you do. But see, this is what you need to learn about God's purpose for the nation of Israel. God entered into this agreement with Israel in order to show them that they could never measure up. In other words, the Old Covenant, God's purpose for Israel, was to show every man his inability to be righteous by obeying the law. That was God's purpose for Israel. You see, Israel didn't humble themselves. Israel didn't obey. They violated the Sabbath. A foreign nation came in as judgment from God, took them into captivity, and they were in bondage for 70 years, ultimately released. They came back to Israel, picked up in the agreement, in the covenant with God, saying, we will do everything that you tell us to do. We will be righteous before you. We will obey your law, and then, Lord, you will bless us. We agree to this covenant. Oh, but if you read on, you find out that the prophets began to arise within Israel saying, Israel, you haven't learned your lesson. You can't. You failed. You've broken the law. Therefore, the prophet Ezekiel said, God caught him up in the spirit and took him down into the basement of the temple. And there on the wall of the temple was one word written. It was the word Ichabod. The glory of God has departed. God is gone. For you see, God divorced himself from Israel. The old covenant became null and void because Israel broke their promise. By the way, this is why during the intertestable period, that is, from the end of Malachi to the beginning of Matthew, you have the rise of the Pharisees and you have the rise of the Sadducees. Because anytime you build a religion when God is absent, you have groups that are formed based upon religious code, but no presence of God. And so what you've got for the purpose of Israel, according to Paul, is a purpose that is very plain. God's purpose for Israel has not failed. God chose Israel as a special nation and agreed with the nation of Israel in a covenantal agreement that if they obeyed, then God would bless them. The purpose of God for Israel was to use them as an example that no individual can be righteous by obeying the law of God. That was Paul's purpose, Christ's purpose. That was God's purpose for the nation of Israel. And Paul reveals it in our text. Now, you say, but wait a minute, Pastor. Are you saying then all of the old covenant passages that talk about conduct for Israel and so on can't be used for our profit? Oh, no, you can use them. But just be careful, because think with me for a moment. You can't pick and choose what you want to apply. I mean, if you want an if-then verse, then why aren't you offering sacrifices in the temple? If you want an if-then verse, then why aren't you worshiping like a Jew? Why aren't you bringing your sacrifices and slaying them at the altar? You see, my friend, the old covenant is old and done away with because God used the law as a schoolmaster to drive us to Christ, the promise keeper. And this is our text. He goes on and he says that God's purposes are never frustrated, thus God's purpose for Israel has been fulfilled. He says in verses 7 and 8 that God's people are never forgotten. In spite of Israel's sinful rebellion and pride in refusing to admit their sin, God chose to bless certain people from within Israel and certain people outside of Israel. We call these people the Gentiles, you and me. God chose to bless these individuals. Now watch this. Based upon His grace and His set promise, no strings attached, no conditions given. This unconditional grace is given to people called three things in our text. Number one, the true Israel. This is what Paul says in verse 8 when he says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, that is, they who are born in the lineage of the Jews, these are not the children of God. In fact, Paul said this in Romans 2, verse 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. Folks, we need to be very grateful for the Jews and the Jewish faith. We need to be very grateful. They built the foundation upon which the gospel has arisen. The old covenant was the law that drove us to Christ. The old covenant showed us our inability. Christ is the Son of God who shows us His ability to keep the law. So that we are the true children of God, the true Israel, who come to faith in Christ. Paul says this in verse 8. He calls us the children of God. That is, they which are the children of flesh, these are not the children of God. Now, he goes on and he mentions Abraham. And let me just point something out to you. Abraham had two sons. Their names were Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael was born in an attempt by Abraham to help God out. You remember the story, don't you? God took Abraham, almost literally, by the hand, and he walked him outside and he said, Abraham, I'm going to make a promise to you. I'm going to promise you that you're going to have descendants like the stars of the heaven. You're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham was old. In fact, he was 90, and he had no children. And he thinks to himself and he says, ultimately, God, I don't have a son. And God says to him, Abraham, listen to what God says. I promise you, I will give you a son. That's my promise to you. Time goes by. Abraham still doesn't have a son. So he decides that he's going to do something to help God out. You know what he does? He takes Hagar, a handmaid, and she bears to Abraham a son. This son's name is Ishmael. He's called a child of the flesh. He is not the child of promise, but the child of the flesh. Now, God comes back to Abraham and says, Abraham, what are you doing? I told you that at a set time I would give you a son. I promised you this. Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God says, no, I'm giving you a son of my work. Abraham says to Sarah, Sarah, you're going to have a son. Sarah laughs. She laughs. I can't have a child. In fact, the language of Scripture is she's beyond the age. She cannot bear a child. She laughs. God says to Sarah through his messenger, a Christophany, the Lord Jesus, the angel that appeared, why do you laugh? Nothing is impossible with God. Sarah gives birth to a son, Isaac. He is called a child of promise. Listen to what I'm about to say. Ishmael is a picture of things that we do in an attempt to be pleasing and acceptable to God. Isaac is a picture of what God does to make us acceptable. Ishmael is called a child of the flesh. Isaac is a child of promise. Ishmael is a picture of the law. Isaac is a picture of grace. Ishmael is a picture of the old covenant. Isaac is a picture of the new covenant. Ishmael pictures the flesh. Isaac pictures the spirit. Now, which are you going to follow? Paul writes and he says, we are children of promise. He says in verse 8, these, the children of promise, these are counted as the true seed. So that, watch, what Paul is saying is this. Is God through with the nation of Israel? His purpose hasn't failed. His purpose has been fulfilled. Israel was a chosen nation to demonstrate man's inability to keep the law. Oh, but God has within the nation of Israel and from around the world, a great number of Gentiles that are his true children. The true seed. The true Israel. And these are not children of the flesh. These are children of promise. These are not children who've been circumcised outwardly. They're children who've been circumcised of the heart. Now watch. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 28, now, brethren, we, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Do you see why it's important to make the distinction between us being good promise keepers and God being the ultimate promise keeper? You see, if our whole framework in life is built around our fidelity to promises. Now, remember, it's a wonderful, beautiful thing for people like you that I have seen today who've been married 50 years, who've kept your promises of fidelity. It is a wonderful, beautiful thing for men to keep their promises. Don't get me wrong, but what is the framework of your Christian life? Are you a child of Ishmael? Or are you a child of Isaac? Do you look to the one who keeps his promises? Or are you trying to help God out a little bit? You see, it's not in trying, it truly is in trusting. It's not in running. It truly is in resting. All right, we'll get down to brass tacks and then I'm going to close. Why do you give? I mean, why do you give to Emmanuel Baptist Church? Tell me. Do you give because if I give, then God will? Why do you come to church? Do you come to church because in your mind you think, if I, then God? Why are you honest? Are you honest because if I, then God? You see, what I'm trying to do is show you that God, by His sovereign, unconditional promise to grace sinners, has awarded you all of the blessings of heaven, all of His spiritual blessings in Christ, regardless of your performance. You're sitting there, oh, I can't make this. I got to tell somebody that I got to do something in order to get the favor and blessing of God. I know you do. In fact, some of you are saying, Pastor, you just want to do away with law totally. No, we need law. We need law. You know what we need law for? We need law for lawbreakers. We need law for people whose hearts have never been changed by the grace of God. Because laws keep people within boundaries. But let me tell you something. If you ever get a taste of grace, and if you ever figure out what God has done for you, and if you ever see that you are a child of promise, and that God has unconditionally promised to grace you, and nothing will ever take that back, that God has said that He will do something for you, that He has promised you all of the blessings of the new covenant, and these blessings are independent of your performance, because He is the promise maker and the ultimate promise keeper. When you begin to have your framework built upon the new covenant and not the old covenant, you will find that you give more than you ever gave. You serve more than you ever served. You do more than you ever did. Because it's not an if-then agreement with God. It's like the leper who was cleansed. Do you remember he was cleansed? He came back and he fell down and he said, Lord, thank you. See, I am trying to get you to see that the new covenant is a thank you covenant. Thank you, God, for keeping your promises to me. Now, how can I serve you? Man, it'll set you free, won't it, John? It'll set you free. Amen. You say, okay, Pastor, but man, all these promises you're talking to me about, I don't see them. I don't see them. I don't see all things working together for good. I don't see that He is sanctifying me. I don't see that I am being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I don't see my life change. I don't see His hand at work in me. I don't see God fulfilling His promises. I don't see it. Oh, now hang on. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Do you trust Him? Well, of course, Pastor. He's my Lord and He's my Savior. My trust is in Him. All right, hang on. I want to close by showing you something about His promises to you. Something that I hope you never forget, because you are a child of promise. God's promises have never failed, and they will never fail. The problem is the timing of the promises. For instance, let me show you something. Verse 9 of our text. God comes to Sarah. Remember, she doesn't have a son. Isaac is to be her son. It's interesting that Ishmael was never recognized by God as the son of Abraham. Never. In fact, in Genesis, where the Bible talks about God coming to Abraham and telling Abraham to take his son to Mount Moriah, he says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, which is a picture of God never accepting anything that is of the flesh. ever. Only that which is of his promise. Isaac alone was recognized. Oh, but when God promised this son Isaac to Sarah, look what he says, verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Do you see that little phrase, at this time? It's a direct quote from the Old Testament, from Genesis chapter 18. And in the Hebrew, it is at this appointed time, or at the appointed time. You know what God is saying? I've made a promise, and at the appointed time, I will fulfill it. So let's see if we understand the passage. Paul says, I've got a burden for Israel. I want them to know Christ. To them pertains the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, all the promises. Through them the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came. Concerning the flesh, Christ came. Oh, but he's more than just a man. He's more than just a Jew. He is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. But I don't want you to think that the purpose of God regarding Israel has not been fulfilled. Not at all. For I want you to see that God's purpose has been fulfilled. Not everyone who is of Israel is really Israel. Neither because they which have been born of Abraham, are they really the children of Abraham? Oh no, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, what's more important is to be a child of promise, not a child of the flesh. These which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise. Oh, these are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At the appointed time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. What do I believe in? The promise keeper. May God give you the grace to trust Him to carry you where you need to go.